Welcome to a very special edition of A Cyber Show with your host, Helen Plews.
Ed Nevald.
Merci Agetu.
Our very special guest on a special edition from our bunker at the wonderful KP Research Laboratory in Southampton. You can see us. We're here. We're real people, right?
Today we're going to be talking about the topic of fake women in tech and also surrounding the issues of AI replacing real women. What the hell is that about? And also, a bit later on, we're going to talk about equality in the workplace and also fake hires and the issues that women are facing at large in the IT industry. So, Helen, Mercy, you two have worked together in IT. Mercy, do you want to tell the audience about yourself and what you do?
My name... Obviously, I've introduced myself before. I work in IT in a company. That is where I met Helen. And then we do computer system and networks. That is where I study at uni. And currently, we're IT engineering. That is where I met Helen. And then we do with switch, a lot of things. Really,
everything, general.
They call it general IT. Yeah. So we have the general IT skills.
There are no tiers in smaller companies.
You do it all. We do it all. Yeah, we are not. You know how you kind of do the same thing, the same day. That's not what the same thing every day. That's not what we do. Yeah. So you can go to work and do what you do yesterday. You might not.
You never know what you're going to expect.
And you can just walk into the office. It's a different thing that you're going to work on that day, depending on what the staff need. And we work with a lot of departments, so, and we support them with different things. So every day is a different thing that you do, which is quite enjoyable.
Yeah,
anyway.
So you are not stuck doing the same thing all over and all over again.
How long have you been doing IT, Matthew, in total?
Over 5 years.
Right, so that makes you in terms of on applications, that makes you incredibly experienced. So you're a wonderful person to have on the show you've been doing it a lot longer.
So what's your favourite part about working in IT?
Well, having to wake up, because all along I've worked kind of a lot of night shift. Now working in IT now is more of daytime works, and then quite a few times you have to work at night if you have to do with the connection and all of that. But the funniest thing that what I enjoy most is when you have done, like when the staff need maybe assistance to do with their computers, and you help them and you assist them to do all of those things, and the smile that come into their face, like, you're so amazed, the classes, you are so amazing. How did you do it? Can I, I'm like, it's my job.
I've had someone go, I can't call you a wizard. I don't know what to do now. You're a girl.
No,
You must be an IT fairy. And I was like, I think that's a different thing.
No. They start asking, how many years, how long have you been doing this job? I was like, I just love what I do.
This is a very special show based on diversity, and it comes from an article that my male team sent us here on The Cyber Show. Would you like to tell us more about that?
So today we're going to be talking about fake women in tech, and you might be thinking, what the hell does that mean? Well, it's not what you think it is. In fact, a lot of there's been a lot of controversy around women in tech, and I'm sure many people are aware of the issues in diversity, which kind of spread through every industry. But this one's a bit strange. We're now replacing women with AI women. Why do we need to do that?
Well, that's why we're here. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I know. Like, we're here. Like, they can get a lot more women to, you know, to do this. Why? I don't understand why they have to use a fake robot AI.
Fake women up. So there's a lot of women in IT now. We're actually represented like almost 1 in 4. A lot of countries have managed to almost surpass that in some areas. Yeah, when we come to conferences, they're 90% male speakers, particularly in our area of cybersecurity. And when they do say, look how diverse we are, we have some female speakers, we're now getting reports that some of those female speakers are in fact men behind a keyboard or a robot themselves.
Well, there was that story of, I think I sent it to you, there was a certain institution who were doing a Women in Tech Day. And then you open the email and it's this bloke and you think, how insensitive is that? You couldn't find any women to talk about women in tech.
And it's Women in Tech Day, so it does not really make, you know, it just doesn't work out.
No.
It just doesn't make any sense why you would go through a huge effort of creating all of these data, to build your AI robot, and then to go through the hassle of going on all the social media posts and make yourself this really big following just so that you can pretend that you're diverse in your industry when obviously that's not diverse.
No.
There are thousands of amazing women that have come from computing that they could have chosen from, some alive today, and yet they're never brought in.
No.
And there's even less representation from the BAME community as well in that regard.
And the annoying part of it is creating that fake women out there when they are real women in IT, such as, you know, as well. So
and we're like entertaining.
It's incredible. I don't get it.
I don't get it. And the women in IT are pretty amazing because I had the pleasure of working with Mercy while she was heavily pregnant, running around a gigantic venue, doing her job absolutely safely, but it was no bother, absolutely no bother, and it was really exciting for the team, particularly the men.
I still yet to understand the reason why they can't get more women involved in tech, especially in cyber security, because you know it's all about security, doing things very secure, and women are good at it, but they don't consider it's something. It's just not right.
No, I mean there's certainly not a lack of skill.
No.
No.
So what is stopping women from going in, like, what sort of things have you seen trying to get into the industry? There's just...
I think in the training, we can't do the training. Mm. For instance, I went to uni for like 3 years, and then I was put through with 2 children.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, I came out with 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
So why women are good, it's just getting them involved.
Yeah.
But they just think, oh, they are women, they've got this. Mm-hmm. With our responsibility, we can do 3 things at the same time, and we're still good in them.
I mean, exactly. So you're not just saying those things either. You can see it, the attitude that is just across the industry. It just seems to be a kind of repeating thing, doesn't it?
And the statistics actually add up with that, because we were looking at that document the other day with those really good statistics on it, and it actually said that most women in tech drop out around age 35, which would be around the time that you have your children. And so I guess that question is, like, why are women leaving jobs that their other male counterparts, who's also their parent, with 50% of that responsibility, not leaving their jobs? I know. So there's a lot of couples where they both work in tech and the woman seems to be giving up her career in tech at the age of 35, whereas their male partner isn't. And I think that might be that some companies, not so much tech companies, but other companies that need those technical support are maybe not as good with work-life balance and as with equality as they actually sort of make out what they are.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've certainly had a lot of issues where you're both working full-time and a child's doctor's appointment will come up and things like that, and it's just perceived that the woman will go. I've worked in places where it's actually really difficult to then balance my job, and they're like, oh, you can use this for that, or you can't go to that, you'll have to you'll have to not look after your child.
I think that's something they need to consider as well, because you know women has got the talent, we want to do this, they need to work around us as well. When we have appointment for the children, we should be able to go without not using our annual leave, but you know they are very strict, you have to use your leave and all of that. I think it's not just right.
I mean, life happens to everyone, and they need to accommodate that. You can't just be expected to attend things when you've got problems with children that you need to go and sort out.
Especially when it's not all the time, requesting for it all the time. So it's once in a while when the children have appointments, you know, it's just making the work environment be, you know,
friendly towards children.
Yeah, for everyone.
And that happens, like, you know, you talk about burnout in our industry, and you may be working for a company that they're not really suffering burnout. That's not something that they've ever encountered. But their IT teams and their technical and cybersecurity teams are going to be suffering burnout. And when you're putting them under pressure and saying, well, actually, you've got to use all your holiday up to cover your child's sickness, you are not able to relax as your male counterpart are. And I think what happens to women at 35 is they get so exhausted and so burnt out that they're actually pushed out of their career. And I find it strange as well that I've had quite a few, my partners have had a number of jobs where they can take whatever time they need off to go to child appointments, but then it's the female who's been then restricted from going. Yeah, it's the female who may have to go because the child's asking for that. And so you end up in this weird situation where you're not allowed to go even though you feel that you should or you have to, and society perceives that. But at the same time, your husband's being given the facility to go, whereas you're not, and that's very strange. And yet he's not perceived as someone who should go.
I think it's all about balancing it, to be honest. In workplace as well, we have to balance how we can help each other if they really want to get more women in the industry. So.
Well, it's an expectation, isn't it? If you give to a company, you should be expected to receive some sort of support back. It's more than just a job. If you're committed to them full time and you're fulfilling your requirements as your job, why should you then have to give up your own time and annual leave just because you've got children?
Burnout, absolutely.
That's, or you need a break.
I require 1 week off a year, absolute minimum. And I found that there are certain jobs where that's not obtainable.
No.
And when you're running a family and you're both working full time and you're trying to run a household, somebody is going to be, we're both burnt out at times. That has been something that I've noticed. Yeah. You know, you can't play with your children as much. And we don't live in a society anymore where we can have one wage coming in, even a high-paid tech wage, because it's no longer high-paid. So here's an important question, and we'll both discuss it. Have you, in IT, had someone promoted above you when you've been maybe more skilled or in the job longer?
Well, I personally haven't experienced it, but I know quite a few people around me that have experienced it. So they work harder, and then because of the, it still come down to what they prefer to work, you know, to be in the front line. So they tend to promote others, and that's why that you do the same job, you do the same thing, but when the promotion comes, the person didn't get it, so they have to give it to someone else.
There is some issues with that. I've definitely had positions as well where I've been in a lower position, and yet the manager that's above me is unqualified and inexperienced to the point, and I know you're laughing already because I was messaging you this very day when this happened, because I nearly left my workplace that day because we had a security incident and the IT manager with no experience and qualifications threw the hard drive in the bin and said, well, it doesn't matter if the infection went into the BIOS because I threw the BIOS in the bin. And bear in mind, this is a Windows computer. It's got the three plugs on the back. And we just ended up in this massive row. And he ended up saying, well, I'm your boss. And basically what it came down to is I'm bigger than you. So I'm going to stand up and I'm going to use a boomier voice. And that way I will win. And it just got down to that very level. And you just think, okay, well, I'll just submit. Yeah, sure. You threw the BIOS away. Right. Okay. Right. That's where I am today. Okay. Right.
Well, yeah. That is not how it's supposed to be, isn't it? If you promote the right people, they will do the right job. But if you promote someone who is not right for the position, they will use their authority for someone who actually have the experience to do it. Like in your case, you have the experience, you know what to do, but you couldn't do it because the person they have promoted to be your manager said this is what he or she wants. And you have to abide with that.
Yeah, well, that's the case with a lot of managerial roles. If you promote someone that should not be in that role, you're not affecting one person. You're affecting the entire workforce below that
Perfect.
Person.
Perfect. That is it.
And then that just has knock-on effects, especially for women in the industry who who have to deal with these men who think, oh, I'm the manager and I know better than you, even though they might be less qualified.
Yeah, or I'll just stand up and we'll get all, you know, confrontation.
Just do what I asked you to do and I'll ask.
And at that point, women just give up and go, all right, we're going to go all masculine on me. Okay, all right, you know.
Sometimes they frustrate you to the extent that you just have to quit. You just have to quit. That is it. You just have to quit. Because you don't want to be in environments where they are not doing things wrong. Right, excuse me. So you just want to just quit, because if something happened, you'll be held responsible.
That's probably what they want,
because
right?
That kind
they
of
want you to quit.
Exactly. And that kind of manager, we're not willing to take the blame. We put the blame on you, and he has done that. So
I believe personally, from speaking to him about that process, because he was really open about like everything, he spoke to me about the onboarding process, and everybody else was male, and it kind of felt that he'd taken on the female because I'd be less able to notice the sort of incompetence, less able somehow to question unethical or unskilled practices that may he may not have known about. And it, the shock on his face when he said, oh, there's a torrent file there. And I'm like, but you can't use pirated things at work. You know about pirating? And it's like, dude, I was cracking games for you when you were a kid. So, like, don't even, like, get me started on that shit. Like, that's mad. That you, and I'm like, well, why would you think that I wouldn't know that? Like, I'm a cybersecurity expert. Like, of course I know what that is. I think it's just a fact of incompetence, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's measuring that kind of ability and that competence versus kind of just the overrunning managerial control or want of control. Mm-hmm. Two completely different things.
I guess that brings us back to the post office scandal, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, well, that's just an absolute prime example of people at the top who have made their final decision, and after that, nothing is going to be changed.
Yeah, and I guess so. Where we're sort of thinking that is from incompetence is that somebody's been incompetent very early on, and they've just gone, yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And then, as you've said, they've just absolutely gone, I'm not backing down.
They're adamant that they're not going to back down because they are the manager and nobody else is going to question their ability. Although, in this case, that very aggressive manager happened to be a woman, Paula Venables.
Yeah, I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that at all. There's plenty of incompetent women out there for sure. But I guess what we're trying to say is that why aren't you hiring those competent women? Like me and Mercy here.
We are not saying the one that is not competent, but the competent one needs to be hired, like such as the post office one that we've seen. We clearly, everyone has seen that. See, she's incompetent. Well, yes, the ones that I did is a lot that is out there that they are very competent, so that we need to, you know, company needs to start looking at the women that is competent to hire them and not just overlook their, yes, there are many there, but also they are the good, we've got the good ones there that is very competent and they are willing to put their 100% into what they do and achieve results.
Well, this kind of takes us back to that conversation about it, you're being judged on your
the
gender
dress.
Or how you look
the dress, the hair,
what's
the makeup
up here and the competence in here.
Right.
Which is what gives you the ability to do that job properly and the competence to do it versus, oh, you're a woman, so you can't do that.
I would just say, me and Mercy used to look absolutely fabulous at work. So fabulous that we once walked into a building to do our IT job and an elderly woman.
I was just about to say that.
What are they doing over there? Because we were like, they were looking good, you know. And then they're like, what are they doing? And we just started taking out everything, all the computer, just like a whole lot, right? Doing a full, really good job. And she went, oh my goodness, I think they're doing IT. Like, it was like the weirdest thing to find two women.
We're not expecting you to do this job. Anytime I get under the cables, you know, want to start climbing to put the switch to, you know, the connection.
Yeah, reading the receipt printout.
Yes. And back. What's she doing? Are you climbing the ladder?
Are you lost?
You know, they have, I think few people have this mentality that some jobs has to be some certain person, you know, female shouldn't do it. Because when you're climbing the ladder, they kind of like, what is she doing there? Is she okay?
Oh, she's in a dress, she might fall.
I'm okay, I'm just doing my work. So you kind of have that sense of human that some people are not getting it. They are not yet getting it.
Yeah.
And I think that definitely comes down to, I guess it's discrimination then, and we can't really fight against that. It kind of is, and it is happening. I have actually got a friend, her name is Joy. We graduated with her. She's absolutely phenomenal, really, really lovely lady. And she's got one of those names that's not as gender typical when you first know. So when you see a name like Joy, you might think they might be male, they may be female. And bless her, she walked into an interview and the guy looked at her in a lovely female outfit and went, oh. And the only thing that she could think that was from the way that interview went down is because he expected a man and a woman walked in. And she knew from that moment, like, not only do I not want to work here, this is not going to be the right place for me, but you don't want me.
No.
Frankly, because of my gender. And yet they did on paper enough to call her in, enough to get potentially.
Yeah, because the skills they read, which she still has, it's not like she's a woman, suddenly, oh, she doesn't have that anymore. But the fact that he read those skills and thought, oh, that's a great candidate.
I'd love to see
him.
Then,
oh, it's a woman.
Oh, I don't want them. Because there's that perception you've just said where they think they're not going to be as good at the job as they are.
Yeah.
And I have heard people say, well, I did hire a woman and actually she wasn't very good. And I had this conversation with a really high professional. I said, why? What happened? Well, she needed a lot of support initially. I said, Have you looked into, is this the first woman that you've hired into this particular tech role? Yeah, yeah, it's our first female hire. Have you looked at the differences between how men and women often learn? No. Oh, no, I haven't. No. Because women, especially where we are always having to come into these areas and really prove ourselves, will really, really be vocal learners. And they want to go and learn straight away. They want to talk. They want to go, how does this system work? I don't just want you to show me later.
Yeah.
I want you to show me almost 100% of it now. Talk me through it. Because next time, I don't need to come back and I don't need to ask you.
Yeah.
And then you just end up doing it. And I guess that's definitely how women work. Mm-hmm. And when there's more than one woman, like when it was you and me, I feel that we got things done really quickly.
Oh, yeah, because there is this teamwork that you kind of like, you are working with someone that you just want to get on with. Like,
yeah.
I for one, put me, whether male or female, I crack on with my job. And I know that there is a lot of women out there that would do the same. So they are not just doing it because their manager or their director is there. They are just, they are putting all their mind, their strength on it to achieve that result. Well, yeah, it's unfortunate that it's just few of us, but hopefully
we can make
more.
Yeah.
We can make different. Two can make different.
Yeah, we can. So long as we get rid of these AI fake bots that are actually secret men behind the keyboards, you know. I mean, the last guy I heard was doing that was Andrew Tate. So, do you know what I mean?
Like, and they've got a lot of followers.
Right, they have. They're like really like what the hell, man? They don't. Guys, why are you following fake women? Oh, I know this girl in tech. She's really cool. Like, is she real? It's just a bloke that you fancy with a fake AI from a thing, right? That he's just made an image, hot bird. I remember seeing that advert that you and me both accidentally trolled, where it was a lady with the worst like i3 laptop. Do you remember?
Oh, yes.
And she was wearing a little tiny like porn tank top. And she was like chilling out doing cyber security job at home. And it's like, what? I was like, I'm getting on. You were like, tagged me straight off. Helen, how do you feel about this? Oh, yeah, that's how I do my job, in a tiny little sex outfit with the shittest computer on planet Earth. And then I take photos of myself with all my cleavage out and all my makeup on. What I'm actually doing is I'm sat there in a hoodie with my hair in a frizzy mess going, I don't have to go out today. Yay. With a blanket on my lap. That's not how I look.
This is another one of those like expectation versus reality kind of things.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, how do we get them into IT? Oh, I know. Let's just throw that picture in their face.
Yeah, let's throw a picture that attracts men to attract women. Because that was the post. It was like, come and work in IT.
We've got these women here.
Yeah, I'm like, what, porn stars? Oh, great. So do I have to look? I remember saying, do I have to look like her? Or can I just do the job with my skills? I'm confused. Right. It doesn't understand. Like, sex shouldn't come into your tech job.
No.
And I think that's where these AI characters are going. I think it's because you know, that's accidentally in there. That's not a thing. We've got our own cyber chic going on, right? You know, just people doing our job, basically. And what's it like, because we looked at some facts, Mercy, and it's really, really awful, the stats worldwide for IT and cybersecurity take up for BAME women in particular. We're looking at stats of in the 1% range, which is just awful. And that includes countries where there are no white people. So why aren't they getting, why are women not moving up into those roles?
I think it's just awareness where some group of people has got this mentality that it's just for men, the IT is for men. It's now that they are beginning to know that it's not just, it's not men thing, IT, cybersecurity, whichever set of IT that you are into, it's not just for men, the women can do it as well.
Yeah.
So as time goes on, I think there is quite few people have started coming out now, having confidence in themselves. Because being that all along they've been seeing men doing that job and now have to talk to themselves that they can do it. So but now, they are getting
I see what you're highlighting there is that kind of that mental strength that you need.
Yes.
To, it's not just, I feel like applying for this IT job. It's you've got to get over that kind of, or well, it's a, you know, it's a male dominated industry and I might just be, you know, maybe it's not for me.
I've got a lot of experience on that actually, because I obviously had a child. I was doing MS-DOS and absolutely rinsing my dad's hard drives with all my games age 9, just downloading all this weird material that came on a weird CD got off his mate in a car park, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Back in the day before, you know, Windows even and torrents existed. So I was doing that and I my dad was really helping. I was building computers with him from scratch from age 10. I could have very, and everybody was like, oh, if you have a computer problem, go give it to Helen. And that carried all through my life. Like, I fixed everyone's computer. I financed myself through university parties that way. Like, honestly. But the thing is I never went into it. And despite having, so I have some really good friends actually who are very high up and who are very diverse in their thinking, kept saying like, I'll teach you C++. I'll get you Linux on the computer and we'll go through the command line. And I'd be really interested and I'd start learning and then realise that I'm actually terrified about going into a completely male dominated area. And this is back to 2005. Yeah, so I would have been like the only one in those places. Yeah.
I cannot have that the same experience as well. 3 years ago, about 6 years ago, when I was just about to go to uni, and then I was worried because all along my background is like in health and switching, thinking I would go into nursing. Yeah. But something kept on saying to me that, you know, I could, let me try other set and see how it felt. So I'd be asking like the friends around me, which was, you know. When I concluded I'm going into networking because I like, you know, the switches, the routes and all of that, connecting the cables and making sure, you know, I was worried at first because I felt like how many female are doing networking, computer system and networks. Yeah. But when I went to uni and I finished, got a job, I actually enjoy what I do.
And that's the thing. It's like, you shouldn't have to think like that. You shouldn't have to think that you might only be the one woman in the class, but you've been made to feel that way.
It's so strange as well that you'd be feeling that with networking, because the main networking protocol was written by a woman, right?
Rhoda Perlman.
Right. So she's, and that's not the only influential woman in tech either. There are many influential women in tech. We always think of Ada Lovelace, but there are far more.
Well, we've got Grace Hopper as well, who obviously invented COBOL, basically, which is a program that we still use today, programming language we still use today. The NASA rocket scientist, Annie Easley, as right. well, yeah. who is actually, there's now a film based on her achievements called Hidden Figures, which just covers the amount of stuff she had to deal with in that time in the 60s where they were trying to plan the moon landing. And not only did she have to deal with that really difficult maths, but she had to then walk thousands of meters to go to the toilet.
Why was that?
Because there was no coloured women toilets in that building.
Oh!
Ooh!
And then her manager, basically, there was a scene where he was, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, ripping all these signs down because they said, where are you for half the day? Why are you not in at your desk? And she said, because I have to walk
to go to the toilet.
Great.
So then the next scene in the morning, the manager's ripping all the signs down saying, we're all the same colour at NASA.
Everyone
can use the same toilet. But that is the kind of stuff that these women had, not just the difficult maths that everyone else had to do, but to go to the toilet, you had to walk thousands of metres to another campus.
And then we made things better, and then circa 2024 we just make up a black AI woman and pretend she's at an event and that pulls out the day before. You know, rather than asking professionals.
So do it.
That's that right here. That's ridiculous. A couple of questions, I guess. Is fear, do you think, a driving factor in why women haven't taken up, both from the women themselves, as we just mentioned, women are frightened to go into such a male-dominant industry that they're not particularly feeling very welcome to up until now, but also is there fear from the existing teams and the existing staff of women coming in and maybe changing things in the way that they're doing their work?
Yes, I think the reason why some of the men might be worried, or the women are coming to take their position or coming to have a higher rank or to, you know, over them. Maybe, you know, there's this thing in human, they think women shouldn't be in a high position.
Right.
So when they have when they qualify for that position, the men that is in the company or that say that they are terrified, but they don't need to, because this is a work environment where everyone showcases their talents, where you bring yours, I bring my talent, we put it together, and the organization move forward. Yeah. Men doesn't need to be terrified like the women are, and they work hard, they work so hard so that they can show that yes, they are the boss, but things doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of energy spent on kind of that natural pecking order thing. When really you should just be all working together collaboratively.
Just be who you are.
To do
just
your
be,
jobs yes, properly and work for the best outcome. And it doesn't matter who you are or where you've come from. If you're all working and you've got some great skills.
Exactly.
And share knowledge and just make the, get on with the job. Yeah.
So the guy that talked me into actually going into cybersecurity instead of the other roles in IT, the one that said, no, we need you. His first thing that he said to me is, it's so male dominated, everything's broken. And I said, what do you mean by this? And, you know, I'm going to get an explicit warning for this. But he basically said that it's just a bunch of men dick slapping one another for power because there's no woman to compete over. And I'm like, okay, he's done some research here. Because that there's a lot of NASA reports and a lot of things that an experiments done for space travel that actually that may be a real thing. So I started looking into it and realized that actually the best team that you can have is a team that is equally balanced between men and women and actually matches nature, because we're still tribal beings. We're basically equal, but we have different ways of doing things. And if you take just one gender or one group and you get them to work together, it doesn't go as well as when they work together in a big group. And those companies already today that have taken on, and I get contacted by some of these all the time, and I'm sure you'll have the same, right? They phone you up and go, well, we're desperate for a woman. We'll do anything. Because we really need more women in our team, because it's made such a difference.
Yes, because they've started recognizing the power, the wisdom, the knowledge, the intelligence that, you know, it's about time. But having said that, I think organizations are picking up now. They are more being open that what the men, what they can do, the female too can do better. They can do things they can do, you know, we too can do it. So there's a big of improvement, I would say. Yeah. Yes. It's not like 10 years ago, we are strictly, when you go to IT department, it's only strictly men that is there, no women. But things are changing now, but we are here to say, let things continue to change. And then we want more women in the IT industry, not just even in any organization, really. Like such as cybersecurity, we want more women.
And do you know what? You can go and speak to women, particularly women who are doing the same things, and they're really big gamers, and they're modding, and they're doing a bit of code in their spare time. And I go and I speak to these women. I say, "Why don't you go into cybersecurity? You know, and how did you get so good at it?" And they'll go, "Well, the minute I went on the internet and started going to forums and started, you know, getting involved in being a real computer nerd, I'm suddenly in a situation where I'm being hacked, I'm being abused, I'm having stalking, I'm having photos sent back to me, you know." And so you learn very quickly. And I remember learning very quickly as a very young teenager how to hide myself, how to hide my tracks, how to not take photos that I don't want to go out and store them on an electronic device just in case one of those creeps get in again. You know, and you can put moderation when you're live streaming. I've done live gaming. You can put moderation on. It doesn't matter. They'll still get around it. And you still have those issues. And so if you're just trying to, like, even when you're like 12, stream with your six girlfriends, your little gameplay, suddenly you've got some weird 35-year-old guy from God knows where asking questions about your toes, right? Which gets out of control. So from a really young age, you actually learn a lot of that cybersecurity, that psychology as well. The thing that we struggle with the most, that psychology of how to lock yourself down. I see men go to the bathroom, they go and have a shower and they take their phone with them and then prop it up with the camera watching them because they just, to like stream something while they're in the shower. Whereas a woman who knows her stuff would not dream of doing that in case there's a million men watching through on some weird site right now because your phone's been overrun. And I think that women have this from a very young age, we get used to it. And so we're given almost a little bit of a head start. But what we do need is a little bit more encouragement from schools and things when it comes to that technical ability.
Yeah, I think it's that foundational kind of start that actually is quite absent in growing up as a man. You know, you don't have to think about those kind of things.
No.
And it's quite sad in a way, but it does actually set you up well for skills like cybersecurity.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think it's just that cultural thing. And I don't know specifically why. I'm sure you could go on for hours about psychology and things behind why it's a male-dominated industry. There's, you know, years and years worth of studies.
Well, I can tell you why, because I spent at least 15 years being told to get off the internet because it's not for girls.
That's it, But that's it. You've got all of these foundational skills, and yet you're still made to feel like you're not good enough to be in the role.
Yeah, and that is the point. Do you think, so I spoke to a lady who I'd say is probably a good 10 years behind you, a young woman, and she's been following our podcast and a lot of cybersecurity stuff. She's very skilled, actually, and she's from Nigeria. And she's asking me, how do I get a job in cybersecurity as a woman? And I said to her, are there women in cybersecurity working in Nigeria that you're aware of? No, which is why I feel I need to leave my country. And we ended up having a good 5-minute discussion about how potentially she would need to go to a different country to get that job in cybersecurity, because there are still some nations out there where they are not hiring. And then we had to have an awkward discussion, whereas even if you do go to one of those nations, you may now find discrimination as well as sexism is also a barrier to you. So I just want to say, like, do you feel that you could go back to a country like that and get a job if you decided to move to somewhere else? Or do you feel that here or America and other places might be the best place for you to get it?
I would say at the moment, although things might change, but at the moment, things are a lot. It's easier to get a job. Like what I do now, it's easier to find women doing, you know, networking, like someone like you doing the same networking, cybersecurity, than when you travel out of the country to another country. So you might not really find women doing that kind of things. So it would be strange for them to see women. Some, if it's not religion reason, some is just not, you are not qualified to do that because, you know, the cybersecurity mentalist, men should be securing the system, men should be doing this. Right. Women, where have you got the talent to do that from? You know, to do that, they just think women can't do it.
You know what, they waste a lot of time, teenage boys, watching porn that we don't waste. I just want to throw that in there, like all of those hours that you guys sit on there and do all that for, like, you know, I've got teenage boys, nearly, they're in their bedrooms all the time. I don't know what they're doing, but I feel that they're wasting their time. They're not doing what they should be doing. And I guess in that time I was learning how to break games. I was learning how to deactivate security features. I was, you know, using the dark web, taking a computer apart. And I guess it gives us a bit more time.
It's more awareness, to be honest. They need more awareness to show that, for them to know that we can do it.
I also found it was quite interesting you using the word qualified. Still talking about gender roles again.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm not quite... Yes, I've got a degree in that, but no, I'm not qualified.
For instance, if you've got a degree in cybersecurity, and I have got a degree in cybersecurity, they shouldn't consider that you are going to be the only one, or you are going to be the one that is going to secure the system, or whichever things that we need to secure, that you will do it much better than I. You know how they just concluded within, no, we've got the same certificate.
Well, it goes back to the same story with Joy again, expecting a man's come in based on the CV,
and then the women turn up.
Not just that, but does it affect the task that the female then does on that team? Because what I find from a lot of women that I talk to that go into tech is that they're kept at a certain level, or they're given what they would call bitch work. And you go, what do you mean bitch work? And they're like, oh, it's that masculine term. But they basically give me all the jobs they don't want to do, and I pick those up. So I'm now like the administrator for the IT team. I'm doing all the emails and the face-to-face communication. And then it got to a point where they thought, well, I don't want to do that, so we'll leave the woman in that position because she likes it, because she's a girl kind of attitude. And then she sat there like angry, thinking, well, actually, I'm technically more advanced than all of you because I've done this job for 20 years. I can fix A, Y and B, and you're still struggling on it. But I'm not given that opportunity because you want someone to answer the phone. Why is that still happening? And it definitely is. There's a lot of women who have that experience today in this country, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, we were talking about kind of, yes, it is getting better here in terms of, you know, hiring and being more inclusive in that way. But again, like issues that I'm sure you've both witnessed, of you get the job and then you find that you're not doing the same role that you thought you were going to do, and it's the more mundane tasks that you're then ending up with.
Or watching less skilled people being given things that they can't do. So I've been in situations where someone's been given a much harder task quite simply because they're male, and I've then had to help them because they broke everything. And then when they finally do it, they're like, I did it, and I'm like, yeah, with the lady over here who literally fixed everything for you so that you didn't have
picture at that time. You didn't do it.
And I've also had situations where things that I've done have just been automatically credited to a man 3 months later male counter. Oh, who did that? Oh, it must have been. And they're instant, you can feel it in their brain. They've gone, it must have been the only male in the room. It couldn't have been the 3 women that have done that, because that's almost too intelligent for a woman to have done.
Because it's intelligent, so it's not the women.
Right. Yeah. That's above admin. So that can't have been the female that did that, which is ridiculous. And that needs to change. It's not going to help. We're not going to change anything if you create fake women that just drop out to pretend that you're an inclusive conference.
Well, I mean, again, that's another way we can use that same phrase, fake women, is that, yes, they are given those jobs, or diversity hires, as we might call them. But you end up with a tech job and then you're not doing the tech stuff that you thought you were going to do when you were given the job.
No.
So technically you're like a fake hire because you're not doing the job that you wanted to do.
You're just representing the...
You're just there for a number.
For a number. Just representing. But you're not actually doing the work. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And there's so much work. I mean, if we look at things like AI, that's 50% women already. I mean, that's because, I don't know why, but when AI came out, the men were as interested in going and doing it, and the women are like, go, 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 go. So you go to university and you find, like, I mean, we just did a course a couple of years ago, I think it was like 70% women. And they'd all won awards. We had women that were able to use AI to train people to speak with sign language. We were able to cut down hundreds and thousands of lawyer activity. You know, they won all of the student awards. And you think, well, if women can do that and do this new subject, they can definitely do all the other. And how can they do that if they don't know IT? So where are these women hiding, right? So like, where were we hiding? I was mostly pretending to be a man on the internet for a long time, so I didn't get them.
There's been a study recently, and it's 80% of jobs are able to be replaced, that are actually sort of obtained and are in female sort of roles, can be replaced by AI because they're more mundane tasks, not because the women are unable to do the more
they made
complex
us do it.
And the thinking stuff. And the creative stuff, or whatever it might be, but because those repetitive, mundane jobs can be replaced by AI engines, suddenly 80% of those jobs can be, that are actually female-led roles, can then just be replaced because you're just made to do mundane tasks. And that's the study that came out a couple of months ago. So,
how do we get more women in tech? How do we get more of a footprint? You know, I guess doing things like this.
Yes, and raising awareness that, you know, we can do it, and have some training as well, because we need, women need to be trained. There needs, some women desire to do, to get into tech as well, but because they don't know how to come across, they don't know where to go to get those training, they don't know where to start from. So if only we can, there is more awareness, there is more training out there for them to do, yes, they will. I'm very sure there will be few of them that is going to come forth and said, you know what, I want to do this. Oh, thank you for creating this training. This has actually helped. But when there is no training, there is no awareness, they still remain where they are. Because, you know, men, they just know, you know, go to uni, do work experience and all of that. And women, we don't think that. You know, some women don't think that way. They just want to be like, okay, now that I want to get into tech, this is a place. Remember, I did say that when I was trying to switch from the health career to IT, I find it a little bit difficult. I wish I could have found someone that will guide me, that can tell me you can do it. I have to take that boldness, the confidence to go and study networking and be like, okay, what's... come to us when I finish the 3 years. If I didn't enjoy it, I can go back to hell.
That's the same situation as me. It's not until I had a very late night conversation about the state of cybersecurity around the world that my friend, who was male and is very high up now, turned around and said, well, hang on, you seem to know a lot about this. How? Oh, well, I've done it in my job. Well, hang on, why aren't you doing this for a real job? We need you. We need you as a woman, but we need you anyway.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing. And no one had ever said that to me. My career advice was, I was scoring high across math, science, all the STEM subject areas. But then I was also scoring high on like media studies. Like, you know, yeah, girls can sing and dance. We're told by Disney to be pretty and sing and dance. We get very good at it in our childhood. It's what we expect, I think, as children that we should be doing because all the princesses do, right? So we're all quite good at that. And I remember seeing this sort of 65-year-old woman who looked like my nan. She had a little knitting out. So she obviously sits in there all day doing her knitting in our little village. And she said, she looked at all mom, she said, oh, you're very good at science. There's a lot of men in that and computers, you know, but I think you'd be better off going into like drama because you're really good at that. And it's much more suited to girls, isn't it? That was the career advice I got in 2004. That's not miles away. People think that we're really advanced in 2004. And I was told, well, you're really good at science, but, you know, there's too many men in that. You're not a man, so you're not going to qualify.
Well, it wasn't that long ago. That generation, literally the options they were given were different to boys in school. You could do home economics or knitting or whatever it was.
That was still the same in 2004. There was two apprenticeship programs. There was bricklaying and hairdressing. And my God, there were no men on the hairdressing course. There bloody should have been. I know two of them that have gone on to be hairdressers now. Yeah. They are killing it. Mm. And they had no bricklayers. And at least two of the women in my year group are literal builders. And they would love to go on that course. And it was just restricted. It was not open to them. They were considered in the same category. And I think IT and tech is suffering that same sort of...
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we're still really, when you look at the bigger picture, we're still in those early days of diversity and actually discovering that, oh, maybe everyone's able to do that job.
Right, yeah.
And not just a select few.
I think the two things that, you know, the IT company needs to work on is that diversity and equality.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the diversity part of it, when you feel like there is a particular people that can do the work, that is wrong. And the when you now talk about the diversity and the equality, giving equal opportunity to people. So if Mr. A can do it, Mr. B, give the Mr. B another opportunity. Give that, try them.
Train them up.
Yeah.
Because it's all about training. If you don't train, for instance, women that just had a baby coming out of maternity leave, you know. So we should not allow the joining of life, like what we pass through in life, to define who we are.
Yeah.
Do you know what? There's this whole, what they call it, an employment pool. And it's, women returning to work after a baby. Like, some companies will try and actively seek them. But, I mean, I spoke to a few companies where I'd long ago had my second child when I finished and graduated uni. I think it was like 5-6 years old. And I got because you've got a young child, we're going to put you in our mum's returning to work program. And I'm like, but I'm not a mum returning to work. I've been at uni and I've been working for like 3 years now. So I don't understand. Oh, well, you might not understand too much about the workplace because I had one year off. Like, I had 1 year off. I had two children. It equated to like a year. And I was like doing stuff the whole time. And you're telling me that that makes me somehow unemployable? That was kind of the perceived message. Like, well, you've been doing nappies for the last year. So your brain's gone to absolute, you know, peanuts. So we're going to have to train you to be a human again.
And Helen, that is another... That is experience, because when you were home, your brain, you were still using your brain. That is part of experience.
You can say, but when you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning and the baby's just sleeping while drinking a bottle, you're like, time for a TEDx. I literally consumed the entire TEDx and every documentary in existence in the 1 year that I had off, and was like, I need to go back to work right now. It's not for me.
Well, we were also talking about maternity leave in a way that it actually could be beneficial to employers, weren't we, for entry-level positions, if it is structured correctly.
Yeah. I think that actually was stumbled upon when you left for your maternity leave, because the company, for whatever decisions, and I think it's just who was they were going for, were able to take on someone with no experience, but had enough natural talent from, again, having a father who's in that industry, to come in, and they knew, well, it's only 9 months, so it doesn't matter if, you know, they're not great in that 9 month period. It would be nice to potentially keep them in case that candidate moves on. But what they've ended up doing is they've brought someone on and managed to internally train up this really loyal person who doesn't really mind if you let them go or not in 9 months' time. And actually, even if they do let that person go, they've now got 9 months of training and experience that they would not have got at a university. Absolutely. So not only is that person's been set up for a job and a career for life in only 9 months, they've covered that hole. It literally cost them less money because they were inexperienced. They could literally take out the money they're paying for maternity leave from the wages, and I think they ended up with a profit by the end of it, you know.
Oh, that's right.
Absolutely. See, there are ways that you can do that.
Yeah, but I think one of the issues is that organisations are actually looking prior to learning that a woman might be pregnant in their role.
You mean like the charity Pregnant and Screwed?
Pregnant then Screwed.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So there are women, I'm not sure, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are women who get pregnant, their company will find out, maybe they told one person and someone told someone, or they're showing a little bit, and they'll make a legitimate excuse to get rid of that person.
Oh, you look different, are you okay? Do you say you have headache? Is everything all right? Is there anything you want to let us know?
Yeah, I'm bloated. I've been bloated for 6 months. I'm having a fart baby, because that's what a lot of women go through. If it's that time of the season, that could be really offensive.
You know,
that's
how people kind of put word in your mouth to get something out, and immediately the word spread out. And before you know, it kind of tell you you've done something that you haven't done. And before you know, you are fired. And why? So...
But you can do it in a way where you end up with a loyal employee. You can use that. You can, especially a bigger company, you can use that maternity as a literal onboarding and training process where you can take people. It's like temporary contracts, almost their probational period, because you can always have it in your tech company, for example, where I'm sure there's always, if you had a 50-50, there'd always be someone on maternity leave. And so you can use that opportunity to bring in a low paid, because they're an experienced person, that you're training up in-house, in-site, with almost no cost, just by being there, that then may be so talented and very loyal that they will stay with your company, and they're probably not going to ask for a pay rise for some time. It's beneficial.
Yeah. And to add to that, bringing someone that is inexperienced and trained the person, you are not adding to society. Because if they are home before, or if they are qualified for this job, or they couldn't find a job because they haven't got experience, and you now give them the experience they needed now. So when they leave your company to go and apply for another job, they've got the experience, which means you've helped the individual to secure a better job.
And as we know, the government's got plenty of people on a waiting list that need training and need workplace training. It's a perfect opportunity to use that time.
Actually, I'm sure you could probably find a program that actually pays that person to come in and be your maternity leave holder if you train them up enough. It's probably a scheme that you can join on, right? So I don't think that maternity or pregnancy is a part of that. And we're both from families where our partners work. And as I said, I was in a situation where I may not be able to go out and deal with the cow pole run because the child's sick, but my partner can, because his company were like, his boss actually is a woman. And she said, and he said in his interview, and I think it's why he might have been hired, is that I need to change jobs to support my wife because she works mad hours and she's always working. And so I'm doing a lot of the childcare, and she just loved it. She was like, you're like the best man in the world. You're exactly what I needed. Literally anything you need, any time that you need off at all, just do it, and we'll work around you, and we'll do it. And
it's all about understanding.
Right.
Yeah. If you understand the person that is going to work, I can put my extra hours, the one, for instance, if I've taken 2 hours to attend to the children's appointment, by the time I get back, I might just stay back and do extra 2 hours.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's common interest, and you know, you're going to look after the company if they look after you. There's no resentment, because they support you when you need that support.
Yeah.
And then you might work a few extra hours and not put the time in request for extra pay, because they gave you a few hours the week before.
And it makes the job enjoyable.
No one's resentful.
It's not like, it's 6 o'clock now, I'm logging in.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
I'm logging out. I'll shut out.
You're still reading things, you know, you're still answering, and you're still talking, especially in IT. You know, things come in at 9 o'clock at night, and you're all on the phone going, oh shit, did the server blow up? Do we all need to go to work now?
Well, some organisation doesn't consider that. When you need them, they don't step forward, but when they need you, they're kind of like, oh, can you do this?
Can you come in? Can you do this?
Yeah. Mm. They are not very considerate, to be honest.
No, they're not. Mm. And do you know what? I worked for, it sounds weird, but when we have children, we often do like low paid jobs, and I sort of try and hide that now because people mock you, right? But I worked in Tesco. Woo! Yeah. I've worked in bars, and I did that, you know, rather than being on maternity leave because I was bored and needed money. And the reason I do that, and a reason a lot of women do it, is because they are very flexible, and they do hire a lot of women, and they have worked really hard on how to employ women into those roles. And you just go to them with your letter and go, oh, my kid's got to go to have his ears checked. And they go, brilliant, do you want a shift change, or do you want to just not work? It's up to you. Do you need the money, or do you? Because otherwise, particularly if you've got a sick child, potentially, if I've had children that needed operations or have had cancer, and that mum will then build up basically time owed over a 6-month period. Mm. And suddenly they're doing 10-hour days for the next 6 months when they should be at home looking after their child who's just recovered.
Sometimes women are qualified, they have master degree, they have some of them PhD. Are even doctors, but guess what? They can't do the daytime job.
No,
they work at Tesco just to fit in with their husband to see what goes on. I experienced it for a long time. Mm-hmm. I have to, you know, how you have to work nights. The man, so this kind of job is not flexible. There's no flexibility in it. So they can work around your family as well. It's kind of either you do 5 to 9 or something. It's just not right.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're finding, I've got there, the men that are going into those higher positions are actually getting rewarded with that flexible and family working and more ability to go, well, I need to go and take my child to the hospital, but the women are not. And so what we could end up with is this really unbalanced society where all of the men are in the school playground and doing the school run because the women are being told, no, you can't do that, or we'll replace you with AI. Yeah. And AI ruining jobs will affect men and women completely equally. It's going to be something that affects all of our jobs and everywhere that we work.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, and I think that is why it is important to work collaboratively together as humans, not robots, to fulfil these jobs that need doing.
Mm-hmm.
And work together. We've all got common interests. We've all got great skills. It doesn't matter what gender you are, where you've come from, or who you are.
Yeah.
As long as you can do your job properly.
And we need real representation, not just in conferences and podcasts for real women, but women who are allowed to go in as them. When we were looking at, particularly in the pandemic, there was this huge rise to get women into tech, but the women that they were being displayed, a lot of them were dressed in the same suits as their male counterparts, and they were trying to dress that way at work. And I'm thinking, there's no programmers, there's no IT women that I've worked with that dress like that at work, because they're not going to wear restrictive trousers that do up, you know. That's not how we work. We need to wear leggings. I need to get under a desk. Those trousers don't even have pockets.
Yeah.
You know, I need some stretchiness.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, especially when I was working in I was working on construction sites doing an IT job, and I'm like, where do I buy clothes? How do I buy clothes? Yeah. The only clothes that are suitable are men's that don't suit me. How do women dress in these situations? Just why is there no fashion designer?
Into the clothes.
Making me clothes.
Just make do of voice of animal.
There's this whole look for men in IT.
If you want the job.
Do you remember when we got bought the horrible ugly shoes? Do you want these? And we both went, nah.
Horrible ugly shoes.
They were awful. They're like steel toe caps, and they were just like disgusting. And they were like, oh, it's free shoes. And we'd like, we'd rather have broken toes, to be honest. Yes. Sorry, I'm not putting
I just think of one of those.
When we staggered that whole floor and the guys were like, what the fuck? How did you do that so quickly? And it's like, because we worked in silence cooperatively.
Yeah.
We got up there and they were like, oh, here's this task to do. And I think it was just because I was new, wasn't it? It was like, right, let's get rid of them. Right, up there to go do that for a bit.
Now I remember.
You were pregnant, I was new, and they were like, right, well, send the pregnant lady up there to go do that. That'll take them all day. And we'd done it in about 30 minutes. And they went, what,
and we went down, like, We went back to the office. We're like, we're done.
They're like, what?
No.
You can't be done.
Because they were thinking, Helen is new at that time, and here is a pregnant woman, so it's going to take them the whole day. But
it's a complicated
after
task.
After 30 minutes, we're like, we're done.
What next?
We're like, what we did and what I think women actually do in these situations, we got up there and went, what are you capable of doing? And she was like, I'm going to sit down and do this. Mm-hmm. I'll get on with that. You do that bit. Yeah, well, I've got the legs. Right, let's go. And we just silently did it and like cracked on. We will do this and then we will have a lunch break. And then got back and they were like, oh, we expected you to like do all day doing that.
Like, you know, it's kind of like, oh, we send these two out of the office. Let them just crack on with this. Mm-hmm. It's going to take them the whole day. Yeah. But
that'll get them out of the way for the whole day. Yeah.
Oh, we're like... We're done.
There was the time when we were carrying out all the stuff, because it was a venue, right? So there's lots of people coming in and out. But we were carrying out all the stuff, and we're clearly dressed as like non-ushers.
Yeah.
But we had to go out the doors. So we went in, got it, and then the audience started to come out, and I think they thought, oh, it's two women.
Oh, yes, 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 yes,
yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes,
yes, yes, yes, yes,
just trying to get out. We're just like, oh, no. Oh, what the fuck?
And we heard the door, like, we are just like, oh, welcome. No, they finished.
They
just finished.
And they
just
finished. We were the ushers.
And they think we are the ushers. And we hold this computer in our hands at the same time holding the doors. And they kept on going, thank you, people. Thank you. They were just going and we're like, no, we are not door holders.
We're trying to get computers straight.
Yeah, I bet if you were there with the same computer, they'd be like, oh, that's the IT guy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Like, yes.
Oh, we'll get the door for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yes. You're right, mate. Yeah. Oh, my God. And that time, oh my, one of the funniest things I've done is when I went and I picked up a printer and I remember the mail staff going, are you going to be okay? It's a big laser jet printer. Mm. And I walked in, I got it, fine, came out of it, and there's a builder opposite on site, and he goes, you're right with that, love, can you lift it? And I went, well, I wouldn't be doing my fucking IT job, mate, if I couldn't lift a fucking printer, would I? I went, can you lift bricks? And he went, yeah, and I went, yeah, see, I think we're all right. And then he disappeared for a bit, and I thought, oh, that's a good opportunity for a vape. So I'm standing there with this great big heavy thing on my hip, and I'm vaping away, and he comes back out going, bloody hell, have you been standing there without in your hip the entire time vaping? And he went, women are stronger than I thought. That's a bit. But you just think, come on, if you work in IT, of course I can lift stuff, right? Mm. I have to lift stuff. And if you're sore when you get home, you better go down the gym and get yourself sore. Same as any man. I think that if you are looking for a woman to come and represent you and to come in and talk at your conference and you want to bring a woman on who's absolutely fun, down with people and knows her stuff, then give Mercy a call right now because she's the lady that you need. And I spotted that. Honest to God, Mercy is your girl. And we need more Mercies and we need more mentors. And you said that just now.
Yeah.
If you really want to attract women, then you need to grab women just like Mercy, and you need to get them mentoring at a young age other women. So if that's you, give us a call, we'll get a number for you.
This episode is kindly sponsored by Boudica Cybersecurity. Get the best in training for your workforce or individuals. Check them out at www.boudicasecurity.com to find out more.
Right, are we done?
Yeah.
Have I got to say? Kettle on then, Helen.
Oh, f*** off.